not here yet, so we're gonna. Is anybody here on behalf of Monica?
No, no,
she's just not here yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Oops. Alrighty, and so let's call the meeting to order.
We will have to wait.
Okay. And the approval of the minutes. As you notice, we're a skeleton crew up here tonight. And there's four instead of the required five of us, so I'm not going to ask for approval of the September 5 minutes. Does anybody, though, have any questions or items that need notation in the meantime?
Norm Goldman did ask a question of Andres at the PDR meeting, and we omitted that because we were shortening things up, and I will put that in so that in the next meeting, the minutes will go out and we can do it as amended. Because it's Norm's question, right?
What?
Your question.
Yeah, because how long would it take for when a person applies to DBR services until they are contacted? Mm-hmm. And they said it wouldn't be more than 30 days. And then they usually have their first meeting by that.
Not more than 30 days. Okay.
Actually, 60 days?
Really?
Okay, well, let's see. What's the answer
What was the answer that he gave?
I don't know what Andre said, but he should have said 60.
He said 30.
Well, he was in the hot seat. He was just trying to say whatever would make us happy.
He worked for DVR.
I know.
I didn't have my hearing aids yet. So
she may have said, he may have said 60.
Well, she knows.
You're agreeing to?
No, I thought he said 30.
Well, follow the. We'll figure it out and put something in so they'll be as corrected.
Yeah. Okay.
Or we'll send them out again.
Okay, well, that was exciting. Are there any other corrections that need to be made?
Besides Andres being corrected? Trisha, can you let him know if anything had to be corrected? Then he might have said 30, and that's not what your policy says.
She's saying 60. She knows better than me. But
he may have misspoke.
Yeah.
But it is 6. After someone applies for DVR, we have up to 60 days to determine eligibility. I think that's what the time frame he was talking about was.
Well, you were asking for how long they should expect to hear back, be contacted, or how long will it take to determine that eligibility?
It's between 0 and 60 days. So it could be sooner than 60. Okay. 60 is the max that we have.
Okay. Is there any community input?
Well, we do have a few this year. It's investing in our values, rebuilding Washington. It is a budget hearing that's going to be happening. It's not really a hearing, so it's bigger than a sense. Sorry. Joint legislators, local organizations, and your neighbors. Community discussion about the challenges we face and ideas for improving our revenue system. And Sharon Wiley, Representative Wiley, is hosting it here on the 15th of November. Yeah.
Yes, a week from Thursday.
A week from Thursday.
And it's going to be here or something?
It's here in Vancouver at the library from 6 to 8 at night.
That's the downtown library?
Yes.
Workshops for people who are on a no-pay services caseload,
I'm sure you saw that report about how many thousands of people there are.
14,000.
14,000. Let's see, if you're counting the wee ones or not, who are on the Medicaid services caseload for the state. The DVC's response to that, we feel strongly that we need to respond to that, is to hold some local workshops. There's one held in Seattle, one in Spokane, for people that are receiving no paid services to talk about advocacy, to talk about their own situation, to network with others in a similar situation, and to begin to build some momentum toward the legislative session around all of these folks who receive nothing. So I advocated strongly for having one locally. We've set a date of December 8th, and from 10 to 2, we don't have a location yet, although it may be at St. Andrew. That space is reserved there. It depends on how many people we have in response. The DVC would like to see 25 people as a minimum in order to make it worth the time and effort and energy and investment in that. We've sent that information out to the special education PTSA, which is filled with many young families. There's a huge response. The day after it was posted on Facebook, I had eight emails that next day from families saying, we want to be there. And we've also sent it out to a number of other groups of younger families, many of whom, or most of whom, have nothing in terms of paid services. So I think they won't have a difficulty reaching that 25.
Okay. What about the transition families?
I've emailed to Grace, and Wise knows about it, so they should get it to those transition families.
Okay.
Parent coalition, and so on. So it's just like in the infancy stages, but that was the only date available before Christmas, and we really wanted to get it in before the legislative session kicks into gear so we can prime those families and get them really thinking about legislative advocacy. So it's a good fit.
It's a go then, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But we have to figure out where we're going.
December 8th, 10 to 2. Don't know the location yet.
Okay.
But we have the space at St. Andrew's reserved.
Okay. And so our next agenda item, Ms. Meyer, is some information about Habitat for Humanity. Are you in a demonstration?
I am, but I think there's, do you have capability of hooking this up or anything?
Me?
Susan, not you.
So do we have a...
you said hooking. You want to project in?
Uh-huh. You just need to plug your laptop into the...
That's what I thought. Just,
what's those cables? I know they're in the name.
You mean...
I don't know how to do that. You mean the HDMI cable?
Oh, well then Trudy can do like interpretive dance.
Watch me learn.
You may have to talk about it because I don't know if we're going to be able to figure it out.
Well, you mean if you have HDMI, then it plugs into the newer TV, but it's just.
Is there anybody that could problem solve that for us?
Not after 5.
I don't know. Not after 5.
Okay.
I don't.
That's fine. I'll just do a.
Okay. You can do an interpretive dance.
That'd be frightening. I'm going to just give you an update or bring in on a project that I did in collaboration with Clark County. It was Monica Meyer Consulting and Autism Community Services. And what it was is the collaboration of all of us and including a grant from the Christopher Foundation. And our project was called Autism Technology and Employment. And what we did is, in collaboration with Habitat for Humanity, we were able to develop a project that basically was to set up different work sites within this environment to do skill development and skill training, as well as training employment providers how to serve folks who experience autism. So I'm going to run through just a couple of things. I wish I actually could show it.
I didn't know we were going to need it.
Well, I did say something to Trish, but that's okay.
Well, Trish just grabbed the diet, so she's been out all week.
So the project, what it was, is looking at low-tech, mid-tech, and high-tech supports for folks who experience autism, and looking at ways, first off, to build build awareness in the community for autism, and secondly, to work with an employment provider to show that folks who have autism are very, they can work, they can be very successful part of the, their work environment. And let me see. Really what the outcomes that we wanted was maximizing independence and employment potential through technology. And so focusing on communication, choice of employment, independence, self-advocacy, generalization of supports from Habitat for Humanity to another environment, and sustainability for the employment provider to be able to share that information with other of their coworkers, et cetera. And then the implementation of supports with evidence-based practices around specifically autism, and then networking, similar to what basically me talking with, I mean, like for Susan and Darla, being part of the autism cadre some years ago, is just taking everything from structured teach and setting it up in a lean way of how to support folks. One, not how to support folks who experience autism, but how to make that business as effective and efficient as possible. So when we went in and actually started to introduce ourselves to Habitat for Humanity, and we said this is a project that we'd like to do, introduced ourselves, are the things that we can help you with, and of course, the first thing was, well, we've got sweeping and some bathrooms to clean.
And Monica, just to clarify, it's, when you say Habitat for Humanity, you're talking about the thrift store, the restore on
the
restore.
Okay,
so you weren't like building houses.
No. No.
Okay. Let's make a trip.
No, but that, I mean, that can be... Seriously, and so is they have an office also that does a lot of office work. Anyway. So once we said we're going to go in, this is what we can do. You know, they said sweep the floors, clean the bathrooms. We're like, fine, we'll do that. Once we got in there, obviously we could nose around and look a little bit deeper, and so we found a lot of tasks, a lot of things that we could set up and structure for the folks that we were going to have to do this project. So that we did, and we were able to. And there were five different departments. Basically, there was manufacturing and production, retail, clerical, janitorial, and food services, all in this building. And what we did is identified several jobs that we could just try people with different jobs. Even though we might have an understanding of a person. I identified maybe through the conditions, preferences, and contributions for an employment site. People who experience autism don't think about their dream job necessarily. Don't think about what else is out there. They need to experience it. So we structured opportunities to give them the experience. And so that's what being able to use some of the technology pieces of which we interviewed volunteer coordinator was, who the manager, the production manager, and who the retail managers were, just with my iPad, and so that we could introduce all the participants to who they're going to be meeting when they go in, where were their jobs, so that gives them that structure and flexibility and using that piece of technology. So to be able to go in for what we worked out, it was 2 days a week, 2 hours a day, and we had four individuals. And actually, in total, we had 8 folks go through the project. And what they were able to do is they had a variety of jobs that started. First off, looking at what their conditions are, what we knew what their strengths were, and then building on that. The other thing that, as some of you folks who are employment providers, knowing that to teach a person with autism how to do the job isn't the hard part. That's the easy part. The hard part is the communication and socialization. That's what's going to give them the ability to keep or lose a job. It's not the ability to do the job. That's given. So we also looked at the social skills and adaptive social skills and vocational social skills that we needed to work on during that time. So at a glance, it was we developed the relationship with the nonprofit. We marketed to different employment providers to participate. We identified the project participants. We developed a plan of how we were going to structure it and set it up, and went through the month of December last year up until about June of this year. We identified the job site, with did a hierarchical and procedural task analysis with everything,
structured everything and had either low to high tech supports at each of those places. From that point, I'll go through what we were able to do. See, it means a lot more when you have it in front of you.
This is where you should be doing the interpretive dance.
Exactly. If I get a bad knee, I can't do that anymore. I'll just some of the examples of the low tech. We use practical supports and examples of resources that included. One of the things that we went in to Habitat for Humanity, and again, this is would be over and above what, say, an employment specialist would do, but we helped them identify ways they had parts and things that were around, so we painted on the floor a pathway so that everything had to be parked on either side. So there was always a way that people could get through, which basically is a lean way. It's how do you make it more efficient? We sectioned off different areas for a paint for the paint testing, for the work site, for the laundry, for anything, and it had a section. So it helped them, meaning the folks that worked at Habitat for Humanity, when material would come through the back door, they knew where it went immediately. Because they used to just kind of put it all together and people just kind of go sorting through it, and sometimes they would get through it and sometimes they wouldn't. So that was just kind of the practical supports. And then we did video social stories for folks so that that would be more of a mid-tech, that we could introduce folks to who they're going to be working with, what are the social, how to be social in that, socially appropriate, I should say, in that environment. And then we used iPads and other applications specifically, as well as using visual support such as pictures, words, checklists, those types of things. And each person that we worked with had a significantly different support need than the other. So it started, like I said, our first gentleman, his name is Jason, 23 years old, lived at home with his mom and dad and sister. Jason hadn't been successful with an employment provider at that time. We were identifying folks that were either not fully employed, unemployed, we didn't do vocational development, but they were in IE, but not moving along their pathway very quickly. Mom actually, when she reported, she didn't think Jason even had capabilities, unfortunately. But what we had Jason do, typically he would go with his job post once a week to do work discovery, to see what other people would do for in the community. And all that did for a person who experiences autism is built a routine of going to different places. He didn't know that he was looking for a discovery. He didn't know that I was looking for something, you know, oh, this is a job I like, because that's not how a person with autism thinks. The job coach reported that she didn't feel that he had marketable work skills, and the barriers to employment were aggression, inability to attend to tasks, and wandering. Jason had, you know, there are a lot of, we went through each person what was called an underlying characteristic checklist for people who experience classic autism. And I don't
have that. Is that in the autism handbook?
Yes.
Okay. So all our contractors have a copy of that, I think.
I believe so.
Yes.
So what we were able to identify for Jason is that Jason worked 2 hours every day consistently, nonstop. Didn't wander, did his tasks. He loved one of the jobs that he did was packaging. People will donate cabinets, and the cabinets sometimes are usable or not usable. And if they're not usable, they take all the hardware off. And so all the hardware then at one point were put in big tables, bins, that people would have to dig through, which they realized people weren't digging through them. So we went out and brought them all in, and then had a couple of folks, Jason was one of them, he would sort all the light, all the brass, all the steel, stainless steel, etc. And then we got into more specific.
to the point where he was sorting them all, packaging them, labeling them, pricing them, and then restocking them out on the front. They no longer have big bins, and it was actually, they have obviously their ability to sell more that basically helps folks who are in need of homes. One thing, Jason, he very auditory sensitive, and you think, oh my gosh, why is he going to work in a warehouse? Well, he loved, he usually wore headphones and a hard hat, and that was his job, and he loved it. And one day, just by happenstance, someone donated an electric sweeper, one of those push sweepers with a bag on it, and I thought, I bet you he could do that. And I wish I could show you the video, but he just put that on him. I put a cone from one end to the other. He needed to clean this area, and he spent the next 45 minutes just sweeping the floor back and forth. And it was just like, Mom said, well, they tried that, but they kept giving him a broom. Jason doesn't have bilateral integration. His right hand and his left hand don't work together. And they always gave him a broom. He'd drop it, and guess what he would do? He'd wander. This simple piece of technology is just a piece of equipment. $65. It was used, and he was doing the job and doing it well and loved it. Like I said, what we identified, he could put in the number of items within a package label, price, and display it. He has a number of marketable skills, and Mom and Jason have gone to DVR. But unfortunately, the person that went through the training is no longer employed there, and so all the skills that employment provider learned need to be retaught. Now we have Jim. Just one of this is the other example. I have many of them, but Jim is another interesting story. He's 24 years old, lives at home with his parents and his sister. He can ride a bus system independently, the fixed route. He doesn't use C-band. He uses C-Tran, the fixed routes. He attended Clark County Skills Center and did the CAD program, and then he participated in the Project Surge Transition Project. After graduation, he took a two-year mission trip, and since then he's been back. He's been searching for a job now for 2 years. And so looking at him, Jim likes to talk a lot. And that was what they thought the barrier to employment was talking, asking personal questions, not able to stay on task, and perseverated on global issues. And basically the job coach said, until he can get this under control, we can't give him a job. And I said, well, that's just not going to happen. What we did do is put Jim, started him with different tasks, and right off the first bat we realized this isn't challenging for him. So he was doing this job and he was just yammering, yeah, da 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 da. How many children do you have? How long have you been married? La 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 la. When they get to the weight and height. So anyway, what Jim started to do is we paired him with a gentleman who was in the recycling program, and it was metal recycling, not cardboard or anything. It was literally things that come in through Habitat for Humanity. They have a very specialized recycling program, and a journeyman metal somebody who has a journeyman in metal. Anyway,
metal.
I don't know. See, there you go.
That word.
Thanks for supporting me there. And he knew how to identify what was recyclable. And so he had Jim work right beside him. Within not even 15 minutes, Jim had his power tools. Jim was literally taking apart washers, dryers, things that could not be resold. He was recycling. He was tearing apart the wires. These are the copper wires. We can save this. He was... And when I stood back, I looked at his employment specialist and said, what do you notice about Jim? He really likes that job. I said, more importantly, what else do you notice? And she goes, I don't know. He's not talking. He didn't say a word. Matter of fact, one of the part of this project was to take a break so the person can learn how to do the job, how to make their own snack, those types of things. He just did not want to. He loved this. He wanted to go back to this. This is so exciting for him. One of the other things that we started having him do is we did a lot of work in there, Kathy Weber and myself, that we helped him repaint things so that we had different areas color-coded. With that, we had handles and doorknobs we had to put back on. Jim knew all his tools. He was actually laying up templates to be able to put on the doorknobs and the hinges. And to the point where I had set some things out for him, and he picked it up and goes, "This is the wrong screw." And I said, "Oh, no, that's the right one." He goes, "No, that's a 7/16th. By feeling it, he knew exactly the thread count. Unfortunately, Jim right now is still employed. He has chosen a new employment provider, which is fantastic. The abilities to find out more about a person who experiences autism is to give them structured opportunities. And you have to use the strategies, and that's what this project really displayed. What was beneficial for Habitat for Humanity is because of the strategies that are successful for folks who experience autism, they work for all their volunteers. So they started changing and then asking us, well, how can we set this up? So if you go in there actually today, they still work the same routines. They have the clipboards. I've made a clipboard for every chat and every job how to do it. Because they were spending their time trying to show somebody how to do something to the point where they said, we'll just have them do sweeping and clean the bathroom. So now everything is structured for them to do a job. And so what we found out that we were able, did not matter on the individual's abilities. We found a skill. We found a task that they were successful with. I think probably Jason's mom was the one that said it the best. It was in January or February, they had a Volunteers Appreciation Dinner. And there was probably 100, 150 people at the Habitat Restore and all the different volunteers that come in there. And we're sitting there, and of course, everybody values everyone. And it wasn't like, oh, it's them. It was, at first, it was like, we're going to have who come? I mean, it was kind of a little resistance to the point where, can you have Jim do this? Is Jason available for this? I mean, they knew these guys, and they were valued. And that mom, that was the thing she said, this is what community is. She said, I didn't know that this could happen for him. So there were a lot of side benefits, not only for the individuals, for the employment providers, for the business, and the awareness for autism in the community. I think, at least for me, it was very, it was successful. We were able to go and add three more people through the process and do some more training. And it was successful. And I just wanted to share it with you folks because there's, I think, those are the things that for people who experience autism, for anybody that has a visual learning style, this would be a great project. Any questions?
So how would you pass on to an employment provider or another interested party what you learned about a specific individual? So that's one level. The other level would be what you learned in general about people with autism or people with other disabilities that could help an employment provider if you thought.
That's a good, and yes, we did. What we did is develop for each person was a vocational assessment profile. And we identified how they learned. And we set it up, basically every task that they did at Habitat for Humanity, how we set it up and the structure, whether it was from left to right, whether it was using containers, whether it was however that person was able to do the job, we identified that. And I can tell you, when they took that information into DVR, they're like, this is awesome. This is what we need. I mean, now I can say to an employment provider, this is what we need you to do. And the assessment was, these are the jobs, and we were able to highlight the ones that they experienced and highlight the ones that they specifically enjoyed doing because of the structured opportunity. But yes, that was one of the outcomes, is to really, and we have videos and we have pictures of folks doing the jobs as well, so that they can show that to the new employer, to the DVR provider, so that information is was captured.
And we're talking about doing, you know, a part two. We're still setting it up, so more to come on that. So that we include maybe more of the directors, because staff come and go, but directors help are here to stay. Anyway, so we're still talking about that, and I think Trish and Kristen will probably be talking to the agencies as we get a little more concrete about the when and the who and the how. So it's not like it's a one project and it's going away and it's not going to be here anymore. We're going to figure out how to keep what we need to and can for moving forward.
And have you thought about longer periods of time? I mean, 2 hours is not very long.
Right. That would be up to the county, basically. Okay. I mean, that was what, you know, funding allowed us to do at that point. But it would be, by the end, the folks that we did, it was 2 hours a day, 2 days a week for 4 weeks. So a total of 16 hours. And somebody is showing that they did not have, that they had been either in, just in discovery for more than 6 months to a year, that we have them working for 2 hours consistently for 2 days a week independently with only 16 hours.
And so now, as of July, our allocation methods and what case managers have to do for us has changed slightly. So we're going to have to work with the state, with DDB, to figure out, in those individuals, how should we structure it for short term, probably? How many months did you work on?
Really, we only did one intense month, but then we did follow along with the employment provider for an additional 2 more months.
So for 3 months, but we could do 3 months twice or something. We just need to work with DDD to figure out how to make it work financially.
Because that you can be used as not only a skill development
and DVR
opportunity, yes, and DVR, they really want you to be in. But the other piece to it is using it as a training venue. I mean, we could have folks at another employment provider come in just to be able to see how this is working for an individual. I think that it would be a twofold.
Yeah.
Well, and the fact that we continue to work with Habitat for Humanity, and they're very happy with our presence, and like I said, just being able to help them coordinate and organize how they do business has been quite beneficial.
And it's all about the job match, because we had a young man, not any that Monica worked with, but we had a young man doing paperwork, because that's what we have at the county, is paperwork. You know, so he rotated through all his project search sites doing mostly paperwork, and he really wasn't staying on task. Well, turns out he had a whole tool thing in at his home. You might have known him, Linda Bay. Anyway, he was all about tools, and he's got a job now, but he volunteered when he graduated. He volunteered at Habitat putting together houses. Right. Because that's what he really liked. He didn't like our paperwork. So not everybody's good for a desk job.
And that was the other thing that was nice, that we had 5 really locations that we could rotate folks around. And like I said, you might have a place that somebody, this is what they love to do, but if you ask a person with autism what they like to do, it's only what they've ever had experience with. They don't think, gosh, you know what, I would really like to do something else. Unless they have that structured opportunity, they don't have the experience, and there is no choice. It is based on what we think of the individual. So this was really about choice, independence, and skill development.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, next agenda item is RH the task force who started on.
I am happy to announce that one of the things we've accomplished with this RHC task force, which for those of you who don't know, an RHC is a residential rehabilitation center. It is our state level institutions. And the task force is going to be